Well, last week I put out a challenge to you. I put a challenge out to start to read Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters, so it's one chapter a day. And then after you read that chapter, just that you let God speak, and that, you know, there's maybe one or two verses that kind of simmer up there, and then you kind of focus on those verses, and you write those two verses out of that chapter, and then you can maybe even write down what it means to you, and then text it to somebody, email it to somebody, call somebody and talk about it. How are you doing? Are you? I got some thumbs up, and I got some glossy eyed looks. You still have time if you have not jumped in yet. You still have time, because Proverbs, one chapter a day, it takes you maybe 10 minutes to read the whole chapter, so you can catch up. You're only 7 days behind, so jump on board. At the end of going through Proverbs, what we're asking God to do is take one of those verses that we wrote down. And rise that one verse up, and then that's going to be the verse that you're going to focus on for the rest of summer. And what we're doing is we're just leaning into Scripture, and we're just trying to let God speak into our lives. And we're looking at wisdom books, and Kenny, I was talking to this morning, says it's been so refreshing just to be in Proverbs every single day, and it's amazing how it prepared him for every day. There's always something that God spoke that prepared his heart. And so that's what's so powerful about the Word of God. Because God says it's living and active. But the problem is we have to be in it to let it influence our lives. So we've been talking about building a spiritual house of us. And building a spiritual house that has a solid foundation. One that does not waver with our times when the floods come, when the wind comes and the rain comes. That we don't waver in our foundation of what we believe and what is true does not change at all. And God says, I want to build this house inside of you. And it's something that is so strong that it endures all throughout eternity, he says. And the way that we do this is I've been using building a home as a metaphor. Because I think if you, practically speaking, if you look at how a house is built, you'll start to see that our spiritual house of us is built in the same fashion. There's a foundation, and there's framing, and there's all these intricate details that get tied together. And we've been talking about the framing over the last few weeks, and we're just asking that God would just speak to us. And we're just asking God to awaken in us what he wants to do. Because he says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. And the plan and the purpose is to make you into the image of his son. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make us into the men and women that he's always dreamed that we could be. And he does that through us getting in his word. He does it through us when we surrender. And then he starts to place these two-by-fours in our lives. And if you remember, I said some of the two-by-fours that make up us, if you remember the framing process, are our relationships. I mean, that's one of the things that frames you, your thoughts, your habits, your routines, your money, your time, all these things they're very intricate details that make up you. And they're all individual studs. And God says, but I want those studs to be true and straight. I don't want it to be twisted. I don't want it to have a curve in it. I want it to be straight. And the way that we have relationships that withstand time, marriages that withstand time, is to base our marriages on the Word of God, to have our friendships based in the Word of God, that we're filtering everything through that. We're not defining it ourselves. We're not letting our culture define it, but we're letting the Word of God define it. Just like what it says with our time. What are we focused on? What are we spending all of our efforts doing? Well, what does the Word of God say about our time? What should we be focused on? Should we be focused on what the world says, building a bigger house, building and getting and achieving more things? No, the Scripture says that we're supposed to be engaged in building the kingdom of heaven. And God says, I speak to every area of your life, but I want you to make sure you're building on the truths found in my Word. And as you build houses, though, sometimes you run into kind of these little hiccups, or you run into people who will be naysayers. You know, you start building a home and the neighbor next door doesn't like it because all of a sudden you block their view of the lake. Or maybe somebody comes in and says, you know, I don't like how that was framed. Why don't you do this? And you have naysayers that sometimes want to stop the building process. Well, there's naysayers for us as well. As we're trying to build a spiritual house, and we have to be aware of this, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He does not want us to build a spiritual house that is true. and based on the foundations of God's word. He will do anything to get you to stop building that house. And not only do you have Satan as an enemy, but you also have other people as enemies. There's people around you that they don't want to see you build a spiritual house. They don't want to see you become the man or the woman that God wants you to be. Because they have to evaluate their lives because they see you changing. They see your house going up and it's straight and it's true and it's beautiful. And people see that, and sometimes people get upset because they look at their own hearts and they're not there. And so they become naysayers. And you got to be aware that's going to happen. And some of the things that people are going to say as you start to build your spiritual house, and we just got to address this morning, is that they'll say something like this. They'll say, "Don't forget where you come from." You ever hear that before? Don't forget your past. Don't forget that you used to party a lot. Don't forget that you used to use bad words a lot. Don't forget that you used to be an alcoholic. Don't forget that you did drugs. Don't forget that you had sex outside of marriage. You'll hear people saying that. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep you from building your house, your spiritual house, one that is true. Because when all of a sudden they say, "Don't forget," all of a sudden you start to look back and you don't forget, and you start to feel like you're unworthy. You start to feel like there's no way that you could actually build that house because of your past. The thing that's true about God's word is He says, our past is our past. It's in the behind. It's forgiven. The future is forward with Him. A new life, a new house that He wants to build. So don't listen to the naysayers when they say, "Don't forget where you came from." And then other people will say this as you're trying to build that spiritual house. They'll say, "Oh, so you think you're better than us." Ever hear that? "Oh, you mean you're not going to come to the lake and drink a 12-pack of beer with us this weekend?" "No, I've tried to give that up." "Oh, so you think you're better than us." "Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to go to church on the 4th of July instead of going out to the beach?" "Oh, you're a little more spiritual than us then, huh?" I mean, you're going to hear these things. Prepare yourself for them. And when people say those things, you don't say, "Yeah, I am better than you." All you say is to God, is "God, I want you to build my house. And I know this is the right thing to do. Don't let me be swayed in one direction or another direction because of what people are saying." People are going to come along and they're going to say, "You are never going to change. When you start really focusing and leaning into God and you really accept Jesus as your Savior and you're trying to turn away from some old styles and you're trying to take a 2x4 that you put in here, there's a relationship that was toxic and it was destroying you because of they were dealing with drugs and alcohol, or maybe they were into pornography, whatever they were into, but they were in a relationship and all of a sudden you have to take that relationship out and you have to let God put a new 2x4 in there and get rid of some of these ones that are bad. They're going to say, "You know, you're never going to change. You've always been a liar. You've always been a gossip. You've always done this. You've always done that." Now, some of you don't need people to say that. Some of you are doing that yourself. Some of you are saying, "Yeah, I can't break that habit. I've tried. I'm never going to be all that God wants me to be." And we've got to stop being the naysayers. We got to stop listening to the naysayers, because everything is done by the power of the living Word of God. When we surrender and we live our life in it, God says, "I've given you my Holy Spirit to build a new you." And that new you, those habits, they can be broken. Not you doing it on your own, but me doing it. Another thing that you're going to see people do is, as you're trying to build that house, they're going to all of a sudden see you stumble. And they're going to go, "Ah, you messed up. Told you were going to mess up." Can we just be honest this morning? If you are walking with Christ, you are going to mess up. We mess up. We're humans. There are times where we choose to go down the wrong path. There's times where we choose to put the wrong 2x4 in the house of us. There are times where you're doing well and maybe you're not drinking as heavily as you were, and then all of a sudden there's something happens and all of a sudden you start drinking more. There's going to be times where you stop gossiping and then all of a sudden something tickles your ears and all of a sudden you gossip. There's going to be times where you try to break pornography as an addiction, and there's going to be times when all of a sudden you're like, "Why can't I stop looking at it?" There's going to be times when we fall. But the best thing and the greatest thing is God says, you don't have to stay there in the pig pen. You need to get up and still let me build. Let me take out those 2x4s that you put in. Let me renew you. Let me revive you. You're going to fall. It happens. We're going to stumble. Then the fifth thing that people are going to say to you, but they're going to be a little bit more subtle about it. They're going to go, just put that aside for this one thing. Just for this weekend, just come out on the boat and just let your hair down and just you know, party, do whatever you want. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't care that you're going to church and you're doing those things, but just for this one day, just let your hair down, just do it. People are going to do that. And in Scripture this morning, if you have your Bibles, open up to Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to see some of these things going on. But as we're starting to build the house of us, the naysayers will come along. And sometimes they want to stop the building process. Maybe you've seen one of these signs like this before. If you're a builder, these are one of those signs that you don't want to see. Or maybe not. So, okay, the sign that you're supposed to see up there is a stop work permit. Cease and desist. Do you ever see those? I remember doing electrical. I pulled my permit, but the builder didn't pull his. So I'm doing all my work, and all of a sudden, I show up there one day, and there's stop all work. And I'm like, what is going on here? The problem is there are people, there's naysayers. They want you to stop building the house of you. And God says, my work, my purpose, my plans cannot be stopped. I can't stop it because I am doing something in you that is so great that the progress will never stop. And he says, I want to do it for you. I want to make you into that person. But be aware of the naysayers. We're going to start out in Nehemiah chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3, but we're going to kind of skip around a little bit just to kind of give you an idea of what was going on in Nehemiah. And some of you might remember, it's an incredible book from the Old Testament. It is a powerful book. It's an exciting book if you take some time and really study it. And what was happening in this time is the Israelite people were actually in exile. They decided that they weren't going to build their houses with God. They decided that they were going to put all their own 2x4s in their life and they were going to go their own ways. They decided that God's plan was not as good as their plan. And they decided that I'm going to follow my own path, my own plan. We're going to turn away from God. And God says, go ahead, turn away from me, but this is what's going to happen. You're going to be in exile. You're going to be uprooted out of your own country. And this is where they find themselves. And one day, Nehemiah, he gets this news. Some scouts go out and back to Jerusalem, and they kind of survey everything that's going on, and they say, you know, the shape of Jerusalem is deteriorating. The temple, it's falling apart. The walls are collapsing. And all of a sudden, Nehemiah's heart just is broken. He's overwhelmed. And this is where we kind of pick it up. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before God of heaven. I mean, can you just see Nehemiah in this moment? He gets the news that the walls are collapsed. He gets the news that the temple is not in a state of glory. And he just, in his heart, just sinks because God built something. He built Jerusalem. He built a nation that was to be a holy nation, a nation that was supposed to display that there is one true God. They were supposed to show the world his grace and his mercy, but they went a different way. And all of a sudden, Nehemiah is finding himself just mourning and grieving. And the first thing that he does, you notice, is to pray and to fast. And when you're building your house of you, there are moments that you need to take and pray and fast. Because the only way that you can sometimes rip out a 2x4 that has been in there for so long, a habit that has been in there for too long, is when you actually pray and fast. And it's in the prayer and the fasting breakthrough happens. Nehemiah understands this, and he begins to mourn and weep and goes before God. And then verse 5 is prayer. So then I said, O God, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps the covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive to your eyes. Open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel. And then he goes, I confess the sins we as Israelites, including myself, my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commandments, the decrees, and the laws that you gave your servant Moses. What an incredible prayer. He begins just saying, God, you gave us something really incredible. You gave us your word. You gave us your laws. You gave us your decrees, and you said, follow these. Base your life on these, and we turned away from them. God, we've committed sins before you. God, don't forget your love for your nation. Don't forget you love us and turn back towards us, God. I mean, you can just hear his prayer. And as I read that this morning, I was convicted that we just need to stop right now and pray for our nation. Because I don't think we're so much different than the nation of Israel. I think we have decided to go our own path and turn away from the living God. And you can see the walls crumbling, can't you? You can see that the temple of the Lord is not in good repair. And I just want to take a moment and do what Nehemiah did here and pray for our nation. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We confess as a church our sins, Lord. We confess that we don't live in your word as much as we should. We don't obey it. We don't live out the life that you've asked. God, we confess as a church, we don't even care sometimes about the lost. We're more concerned about ourselves. God, we confess that we haven't been following you like you ask us to. We confess the sins of our nation where we are turning against you. We are turning against your ways or your decrees, your morals, your love and your mercy. We are saying we don't need you, but God, we need you. God, I would ask that you just show your mercy on us as a nation. I would ask, Lord, that you would just revive the church, that you'd bring up revival again. Start a fire in the hearts and in the souls of every believer in this body and in every believer in the body of Christ. God, help us to have that desire and passion to build our lives on the true living word. Give us the courage to surrender and go against the grain, go against what culture is saying. Lord, we need you. Rebuild your church. Put your power and your authority back. We ask for your spirit just to dwell in your body again. In Jesus' name, amen. So you have Nehemiah broken, wanting to see what God has built back to the way that it should be. God began to open up Nehemiah's heart and put a burden on him, saying, Nehemiah, this is your purpose. This is the vision that I'm going to give you. You're going to rebuild the wall. You're going to put the gates back up, and nothing's going to stop you. Yeah, there's going to be naysayers as you're trying to rebuild this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be with you the whole way. And it's in chapter 2, verses 19, if you jump there, the naysayers show up right away. He gets permission from the king that he's serving under to go back to Jerusalem, get the resources, and rebuild the walls, but the naysayers start coming. It says, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this they are doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them, the God of heaven will give us success. we his servants will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. So you have this passion and this desire in Nehemiah, wanting to build what God wants him to build. He has this passion to see the grandeur and the glory of God restored to that city. And he focuses completely on that. He doesn't listen to the naysayers, because you have three naysayers here saying, you can't do it. What are you doing? You're rebelling. You're going against what culture says that we're supposed to do. You're not following the king's orders. It's like they're saying, there's no way you're ever going to build the walls up again. You're never going to do it. Just like people are going to come to you and say, there's no way that you're going to have a spiritual house built on God, because you've always been this way. You've always done this thing. People are going to do that. And right in the story, I just love it, because you have to get it focused. If you're going to build a house on God, you got to get your eyes focused on God and his plans and his purpose. And his plan and his purpose is to make you into the image of God, into the image of his son. He says, I want to do this. So you got to set your eyes on him. And when people start looking at you and saying, not going to do it, not going to happen, you need to say, God is with me. And keep your eyes on him. Don't get discouraged. Nehemiah didn't get discouraged. He stayed focused on what God has put him, called him to do. Now let's jump to chapter 6, because we don't have time to walk through every single chapter. These guys are constantly coming back to him, and they're trying to stop the building process. They're trying to stop Nehemiah from building the walls and reviving the city of Jerusalem. Just like people are going to come along in your life and try to get you to stop building your house. And they just keep coming, and they just keep coming, and they will just keep coming. But Nehemiah understood what his purpose was and his plan was. And he never let those people turn him away. And look at what happens in chapter 6. It said, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time, I had not set the doors and the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me his messenger. Come, let us meet together in one of the village on the plain of Ono. I like that word Ono, right? It's like you can kind of see that city is like, oh no, don't go there. And Nehemiah understood that he can't come down. He's got to keep building. He's got to keep his focus. And as he's building the walls, he's not done yet. He's got to keep the focus. And these guys are like, come on down. Come to Ono. And Ono, what they were going to do is they want to kill him, basically. They want to stop his plans because they don't like what's happening. They don't like the change that they're seeing. And then you have Nehemiah just relying on God, leaning into God, going, God, speak to me, guide me, and direct me. And this is what it tells us. It says, but they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, replying, I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. See, this is the naysayers. Stop. Stop the building. Stop building the house of you, the spiritual house. Stop doing it. Why don't you just come down? There's things that you can do in life that are fun, that might have some pleasure to them. Come on down, just stop the work. Well, you have Nehemiah saying, I can't come down because the work that I have to do is too great. The work that God is trying to do in us and building a spiritual house in us is too great to come down. We have to be willing to say, no, I am not going to come down because the work that God is doing inside of me is so great. I don't have time to mess with the silly pleasures of this world. Because God is working in me. God is building something in me, and he is putting 2x4s and he's building framing, and the project's not done. And I'm not going to come down. I've got my focus on what God wants me to become. And it's in his word that he tells us what he wants us to become. He shows us how to become the image of his son. That we constantly surrender our hearts, constantly surrender our lives to him over and over. And so you have Nehemiah going, I'm too busy. I got great work. Well, we're not rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. the work that's happening in you and me is much greater than that. God wants to use you and build you into a house that is so strong that it reflects his glory to this world. And he wants to use the house of you to share the message of Christ. It's a greater work that's happening. And you and I got to start saying, I'm not coming down. I'm not coming down to the level of our culture. I'm not going to look down on our culture. I'm going to love the people in our culture, but I'm not coming down to this level. I'm not changing my moral stances. I'm not changing my stance on sex outside of marriage. I will never change that. It's destructive. It destroys. I am never going to change my mind on when you have the homosexual marriages. I am not going to change my mind on that. I am not going to change my mind that sin is sin. It is what it is. We can't get around it. But I'm still going to love them. I'm not coming down. I'm loving them. I'm praying for them. I'm going to walk with them. I know they have struggles. I'm not going to look down my spiritual nose and think I'm up here. But I'm going to stay up here and go, you know what? I'm not changing. Because the Word of God says this. The Word of God does not change. This is the only thing that will endure all time. People change, culture changes. The Word of God does not. So God says, make sure that this is our foundation. Make sure that when we're building, that this is what we're filtering everything through. And the work that's going on in you is so great, don't come down to the world standards. Don't do it. Because what happens, you go down a different path, you start putting in other beliefs. Next thing you know, you're walking away from the living God. And you're going to be in exile. And you're going to be wondering where God is. And God's going, never left, I'm still here. I haven't changed. But it takes us a moment in us for us to say, I repent. I repent of what I'm doing. Put me back on the right track. And then God will start building again. Nehemiah is so focused, he says his message, I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I mean, can you just hear him just saying, no, the work is too great. The work that God wants to do in us is too great. Don't come down. You don't have time for it. And Nehemiah says, I'm focused. I'm focused on the plans and the purpose that God has. And then verse 4, the naysayers don't stop. Culture is not going to stop coming at Christians. Culture is going to keep trying to get us to change our values, our morals. Culture is going to keep trying to get us to water down what we believe. It's going to keep happening. Over and over, people are going to keep trying. And God says, focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. Base it on this. Not on a feeling, but what you know is true. And so you have Nehemiah going, four times they sent me the same message. And each time I gave them the same answer. I just love that. Four times they're like badgering him. But he doesn't change. He doesn't waver. He knows what God is doing. Do you know what God is doing in your life? Do you know that he wants to build a spiritual house in you that reflects his glory to this world? He wants to do it. But you have to be willing to say, I'm yours. Do whatever you need to do to remodel this house, to rip out these walls, and make me into somebody that you can use. Nehemiah is so focused. He said, then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aid to me with the same message. And in his hands was an unsealed letter, in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true. I mean, you ever been in that point before? You ever hear somebody saying, well, I heard that this was going on. I've heard the rumor, and this is what's going on. They're creating rumors. They're creating deception. They're creating diversion to try to stop the building. And people are going to try to do the same. They're going to create diversions and deceptions to get to us to stop building. And Nehemiah identifies that and it goes on. It says, that you, this is what they say is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the walls. Moreover, according to these reports, this gossip, according to that, they must be true, you are about to become their king. And verse 7, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now the report will get back to the king. So come, let us confer together. In other words, can you come down from the wall? We want you to stop building. We want you to stop doing what God wants you to do. Will you come down and talk to us? I mean, we're going to lie. We're going to create diversions. We're going to even twist the truth and to try to get you, put pressure on you, to put fear in you that something's going to happen to you because, you know, if this report gets to the king, you're in trouble. And he's going to take your life. And even though it's a lie, we're going to send it to him. But Nehemiah's like going, no, you're not stopping me. I can't stop because my focus is completely on God. And then they use deception. And then look what his reply is to him. He said, I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. Did you know that was in the Bible? Some of you are like writing that down right now going, whoo, I got to use that verse there. It says, nothing like that. What you're saying is happening. You're just making it up in your head. That's what it says in the Bible. It's amazing how the Bible is true. And the Bible does not change. And it speaks to our times. People make things up in their heads, don't they? And Nehemiah just calls it what it is. You're lying. You've made this up. I'm not coming down. The work is too great. God is building. He's building something that is greater than you. I'm staying focused on what God is doing. And then so they can't discourage him through these diversions, through lies. So then they try another aspect. Let's try to dishearten them. Let's try to put fear in them. And maybe they'll stop. And this is what it says in verse 9. They were all trying to frighten us. They were frighten us thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. I just like that little image there. That what's happening is that the fear, kind of is their hopes are going to paralyze the people. And their hands are going to get weak and they're going to stop building the walls. They're going to focus on the fear. And we have an enemy that loves to use fear in us. He loves to give you the spirit of fear and you stop building the house of you. You stop all construction because you're afraid somebody might find out your past or find out something that you've stumbled over. Or you're fearful that maybe somebody's going to persecute you because you stand for Christ and the truths of God. And then all of a sudden you stop building the house of you. Fear is a tool of the devil. God did not give us a spirit of fear, did he? But he gave us a bold spirit to go forward. And Nehemiah has that bold spirit. He doesn't let them dishearten him. He goes, okay, God, this is what I need. I need you to strengthen my hands so I can keep working, so I can keep building what you want to build. You and I need to pray that in the culture right now that we're in. God, when I am fearful, will you give me the strength to continue to build the house that is built on you? God, give me the strength when the storms are coming and the tides are rising and the floods are starting to rage. God, give me strength to keep building on you. And Nehemiah gets the strength and it comes completely from God. And then in verse 10, it says, one day when I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, I'm slaughtering these, sorry, the son of Methedebel, we'll try that one, who was shut, we should just call him Matt, so, who was shut in at his home. Just a little backstory about this guy. This guy, he's actually a trusted advisor, somebody very close to Nehemiah. He's even kind of like a spiritual advisor. Well, they couldn't get Nehemiah to stop building and doing what God has asked him to do. So they started to try to infiltrate and get people that were close to him to turn on him. And this is what they do. They get one of his trusted friends to turn on him. And is trying to trap him. And this is what he said. Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple. And let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah, you know what Nehemiah is doing? He's going, I was called by God to do this. I was called by God to rebuild these walls, and he gave me a purpose and a vision, and that's what I'm focused on. And should I hide from all these people when I'm trying to build something that reflects the glory of God? He's going, absolutely not. You know what God is doing? He's creating, he put wisdom in Nehemiah. All of a sudden, in Nehemiah's spirit, something welled up in him to identify that what was happening is his friend was being used as a false prophet. He was speaking a word to him. Here's the word that I'm speaking into your life right now. They're going to come and get you, so let's hide. And then Nehemiah's like, no. I'm not hiding. I'm not ashamed of what I'm building. I'm building for God. You and I, we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't hide. We should be standing boldly saying, no, a temple is being built right here. The temple of the living God right inside here. And it is a house that is true. And then Nehemiah says, I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would have given me a bad name to discredit me. So, you know, in my job, I have a lot of people coming up to me and speaking words to me. They'll say simple things like, Kelly, I think you should do this ministry. Kelly, here's a word for you today of something that God wants to say to you. We need to be really careful when somebody says, I have a word for you. Because a lot of times when somebody comes up to you and says, I have a word for you, I have a prophecy for you, quite often they're not words that God are speaking. And they may not even be applicable to you, because in fact, quite often, people will steer me into two different directions when they say, I have a word for you. And I'm like going, so which one's is actually a prophet from God? Here's what I know about God. God uses people to speak into our lives. But if he's asking you to do something, he's going to be working on your heart already. And when somebody comes to give a word, you already know that it's true. And if they give you a word that does not align with the word of God, and that's why it's so important that we know, then you need to ignore it. In fact, you need to say, God, focus me on you. Because our culture is full of people trying to give you words, whether it's wise words or bad words. We need to know what words apply to us. And all of a sudden you have Nehemiah going, this was a word that was given to me, a spiritual word. This was a spiritual advisor, but I had discernment in me because I was connected with the Holy God. And that discernment said that word was not for me. And then so you have Nehemiah again stand so focused on God, so focused on what's going, and then all of a sudden it shifts in verse 14. He says, God, remember Tobiah, Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done, remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. And number 16, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. And I just love that last line. The work has been done with the help of the Lord our God. When we're building the house of us, we need God's working in us. And the problem sometimes when we are building and letting God work in us and letting God's word change us, people are going to be intimidated. They're going to be afraid. And this is why. Because it was built by God. And they don't like what they see, because that's not what they are. They are comfortable in the pig pen. They are comfortable in their sins. They are comfortable justifying what they're doing. And then they see somebody who is trying to stand firm in the truths of God, and they are just going to ridicule. But when they see somebody actually standing in the Word of God and relying on God constantly and faithfully, all of a sudden those people that were the naysayers, over time, slowly come to that person and say, help me. Help me through this struggle. Help me through this moment. See, it's so important that you and I continue to let God build us and let Him do it, because God is always drawing people to Him and He uses us. The nations around all of a sudden get to see that there is one living God, and they are trembling in fear. Can you imagine if you and I start living and letting God build our house again, and we do not waver from this truth? We're not using it military, like a militant going, you change your life or you're going to die, you're going to go to hell. Not like that. Get into God's Word. Study it. Let this change you. Do you know that there is a God who gave up His Son? Do you know that there is a God who loves you so much that He died for you? That's what we need to start doing. And sharing that message to people around us. So God is always building. He's always up to something. The last thing, a couple of things that we just need to try to get our eyes so focused on God, there's just a couple of statements. The first thing, we need to fix our eyes completely on Jesus. We have to. We have to lift it off the world right now and all of our culture. We have to also start to become a voice of encouragement to people, because too often Christians are discouragement. If we're going to make an impact and we're going to see God change us, we got to start saying, hey, well done. I mean, the other day I thought about this, because sometimes I'm not very good at building the house of me, but I'm better at doing encouragement. And then as I'm encouraging people, all of a sudden it starts to build up me, because all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I needed to hear that. But can you imagine if we start actually using words of encouragement and to build other people up too? Because I was thinking, I was watching my son-in-law Cody play with Lyle in the yard, and I thought, man, he's a fantastic dad. But I didn't say it. And I thought, you know, I should have said that. Janelle's a fantastic friend, and she's a fantastic servant in the body of Christ. She does everything to the best of her abilities. I should say those things. Or when I've seen a couple of young people confessing that they're struggling maybe with pornography or drugs, I should start saying, thanks for confessing that. That's awesome. Way to go. Keep taking the next step. And it starts to build up people, and we start to build up us. And then when we fix our eyes on God, it changes us. Maybe you can remember the last moment. And we'll close with the scripture of Christ on the cross. He understood something. God was building something. God was doing something. And if you remember, while He's up on the cross, people are ridiculing Him and mocking Him, saying, come down. Do you know what Jesus said in that moment? The work is too great. The work is too great for me to come down and meet with you. The work that I'm getting ready to do is so great and so profound and so powerful, I can't take the time, because God is doing something. And I just want us to look at the moments and see how focused Christ was on God's plan. And it says in Mark chapter 15, verse 25, it was the third hour when they crucified Him. The written notice of the charge against Him read, the King of the Jews. In verse 27, they crucified two robbers with Him, one on His right, one on His left. Those who passed by hurled insults on Him, shaking their heads, saying, so you, who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. See, you got the naysayers. Even in Christ's final hours, before He's getting ready to do the greatest act that has ever been done for humanity by laying His life down, the naysayers are there. And they're saying, it's not worth it. Don't do it. Don't do God's will. Don't follow His purpose. Just come on down. Show us who you are. Save yourself. And Jesus says, no, I can't. I'm staying up here. And then in verse 31, it says, in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And Jesus stays up on the cross. He says, the work is too great. God's purpose for him was to die, to give us life. We celebrate freedom in America right now because of the 4th of July coming. But we celebrate dependence on Christ. Because when we're dependent on him and we build our house on him, we experience freedom. Jesus says, I've laid my life down for you. Now will you lay your life down for me? Will you build the house of you on me? Will you remove all those 2x4s that you have placed in there and reconstruct with my work on the cross? So I want to build something, and it's great. So I put that challenge out, Proverbs. 31 chapters, one chapter a day. Will you do it? Will you start to build you? Will you start to say, I have time for you, God? We say to people when they come up to you and say, hey, I want you to come over here and do this. We say, no, I'm too busy because I'm doing God's purpose and God's will. No, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, and this purpose that he's doing is so great, I can't come down, I can't go out and have sex outside of marriage. The purpose that God is doing is so great and so powerful that drugs and alcohol, done. I don't want to go out and do that anymore. Your relationships, can you say, I'm not coming down until these relationships are healed. I'm going to surrender these relationships. I'm going to stay here. I'm not just going to move on and ignore these things anymore. Will you do it? We start to live the Word of God out. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and I know it's tough to follow, Lord. Tough to understand how you want to change us and build us and make us into the image of your Son. But God, I would ask that you would make this body a body who is receptive to your word. I would ask, Lord, that instead of us just going on our paths and doing our own thing, that we let you do something in us. That you build in us something so strong that people see that there's something different in us. And they see your Son. God, we do repent. We do ask for forgiveness, that we just build our own things. We stay focused on the things that I want. And God, and we do confess, we don't spend time in your word. We confess that we haven't made you a priority. That we went our own path and we've said we got it. We got our lives under control. But God, they're out of control. Lord, we confess that we have habits. We have people that are struggling with drug addictions. We have people struggling with pornography. We have young kids that don't feel loved. God, we confess that we forgot the widow at times. But God, we just ask that you just revive us and build us into the house that you want. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.